I want to turn with you tonight to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and you'll maybe get out a wee bit early tonight because I've got another meeting, and while you're sitting at home drinking your cocoa or Horlicks or whatever it is you drink, I'll be out there somewhere else, but we're just going to take it as it comes. John chapter 7, and if you remember John's Gospel and what you find in all the chapters, you find in John 7 that we have the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord Jesus says he walked, after these things he walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And we find that he didn't go up to the feast immediately, but he told his disciples for them to go up, verse 10, but then when his disciples were gone up, then went he up also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And we find that in verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught them. And we find in these verses following that he's teaching those people at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we find when we come down a little bit, it says here in verse 28, then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught them, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. It says they sought to lay hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? And you see the way they were thinking there. They were thinking, you know, if Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this man hath done? They were beginning to see the light that this was the one that was to come, that indeed he had come. It says in verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So they sent these officers that they might arrest him and take him. And we find there in 37 it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So you see here the intention of the Pharisees in verse 32. It says, when they heard what the people said, they sent officers to take him. And then in verse 37, we see the declaration of the Savior, and this was an invitation to the people. In verse 40, it says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. So we see not only the intention of the Pharisees and the declaration of the Savior, but the division among the people. His presence there and his preaching caused a division. And you know, the thing is that the Lord Jesus still causes a division today. Those who know him, those who belong to him, those who love him, and others who have no time for him, the division among the people. It says in verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And that's the question of the rulers. They were sent to bring him, and they come back without him, and they say, why have ye not brought him? And then it says in 46, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. And that's the conclusion of the officers. And reading this chapter, and there are great chapters here in John's Gospel, though as this little phrase jumped out at me, and it simply says, these officers said when they were questioned concerning him, never man spake like this man. This text is bringing before us the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was unique in many ways. His birth was unique because he was born of a virgin. There was nobody born like he was born before or since or ever will be. His life was unique because he was without sin. His character was unique because he was the eternal Son of God, and his death was unique. You see, the fact of the matter is this, that when death comes to you and I, we'll hold on to life as long as we can. My death will overcome us in the end. But when the Son of God stepped into death, it says he dismissed his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. He voluntarily stepped into death. His death was unique. Never man spake with such power or authority as this man. The things he said, no one else could have said them or claimed to do. And we want to just look for a moment at this text tonight. Never man spake like this man. See, let me do it like this for you. Never man spake to Satan like this man. Remember in Matthew 4, we read of the temptation in the wilderness when he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, and then cometh the devil and said, command that these stones be made bread. And the Lord Jesus dipped into the book of Deuteronomy, takes out a phrase from the book of Deuteronomy and defeats the devil with that phrase, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And then the devil tempts him again, takes him up into the temple and says, cast thyself down, and he has promised to give his angels charge over thee. And again the Lord dips into Deuteronomy again and defeats him through the word of God. And the devil comes back again for more, takes him unto a high mountain, shows him the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he says, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And that's what Satan has always wanted. He has always wanted Christ to worship him. And again, the Savior dips into Deuteronomy and defeats him. And he said, then get thee thence, Satan. Then the devil leaveth him. He overcame Satan by the word of God. Never man spake to Satan like this man. Never man spake to the scribes like this man. If you read Matthew chapter 23, it's the great chapter of the woes of the scribes and Pharisees. These were the religious leaders of the day, the people who put on a holy facade, and yet their religion was only empty religion. Do you remember Jesus down that chapter? He says time and time again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrite. My, ye indeed seem beautiful without, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Never man spake to the scribes, the religious so-called leaders of that day, like he did. Never man spake to the sea like he did. Do you remember when the storm came. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he, the Creator, was taking control of the very elements that he created. Now they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Never man spake to the saints like this man. Remember Mary at the garden tomb? Tears were flowing down her face. Remember how he spake to the disciples in the upper room, and he brought to their troubled hearts words of comfort and peace. Never man spake to sinners like this man. I was at the traffic lights there at the roundabout last week someday, and they were at red, and as I sat at the traffic lights waiting on them to turn green, that big advertising hoarding there that changes every lot of seconds or so, and that somebody has put up that great text that Jesus spake, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And whoever put it up, they've done a good job. My, what a text for people to hear, to these beaten and burdened and baffled and bewildered sinners. Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Now he spake to those that were thirsting here in this chapter. My, no man spake like this man. No other person who has ever lived could do for men and women what Christ has promised to do for them. He spoke to the woman taken in adultery when others would wanted her to be stoned. My, he spoke, and through his words we see his love and concern and his grace. You know, friends, when you continue that thought on, no man spake about sin like this man. No man spake about sin. Here in chapter 8, verse 21, it says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to these people here. He says, listen, if you die in your sins, where I go, ye cannot come. Well, that's clear and plain. He preached about the reality of sin. He pointed out to people that they were sinners. And he brought them face to face with the reality of sin in their lives. And they need to face up to that reality because all have sinned. And he says to them, if you die in your sins, if you die in your sins without forgiveness or pardon for sin, where I am, ye cannot come. He preached about the enormity of sin. Again, I refer back to Matthew 23. And he preached about the penalty of sin. He says the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus says, except ye repent, ye should all likewise perish. Never man spake like this man. Never man spake about sin like this man. Never man spake about the soul like this man. He pointed out that we have a soul. We have body, soul, and spirit. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People the other month there won, I don't know how many hundreds of millions on the European lottery. What profit is it if you lose your soul? What profit is it if you die a few years later? Have to leave it all behind. And he says, what shall it profit a man if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul? He reminded them about the actuality of a soul, that we all have a soul. And he reminded them about the possibility, it's possible to lose your soul. To lose your soul. And he reminded them about the eternal destiny of the soul. That the soul will exist as God, as long as God exists, either in heaven or in hell. Never man spake like this man about sin. Never man spake like this man about the soul. And never man spake like this man about salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says, you want to know how to get saved? You step in through me. You take me. I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Never man spake like this man. And then I want to change the text a little bit and put it like this. Never man stooped like this man. Never man stooped so low. Remember, we read that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Though he was rich, he was rich in eternity before he was born at all, because when he was born into this world, he certainly wasn't rich. He wasn't rich in birth, wasn't rich in life, he wasn't rich even in death. But he was the eternal Son of God. He was rich. In his ownership, he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold in every mine. He was rich in sonship. He was rich, my dear friends, in so many things. He was rich in worship, because the angelic beings bowed down and worshiped. But though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. He became poor when he went to the cross and took your place and was made sin for us. Remember that we read in Philippians that he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's underlining his deity and his equality and the Godhead. The Godhead wasn't something he had to grasp after. He was God. But even though he was in the form of God, yet he made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men. No one will ever become poor for you again. No one will ever make himself of no reputation for you again. No one will ever die for you again. Someone has said this. Someone made this quote. No one ever stooped so low to save so little as when Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. No man spake like this man. No one stooped like this man. No one suffered like this man. Peter said that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. There's many different sides to the sufferings of Christ. We see his sufferings in the garden, when as Calvary's shadow, the shadow of the cross, came across his path. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. We see his suffering in Pilate's hall, when the soldiers mocked him and scourged him with the lash and scoffed at him, and spat upon him and punched his face. When they smote him, we see his suffering at Calvary, the shame of Calvary. The spikes, the nails that were hammered through his hands and feet, the spear that was crashed into his side, when his face was more marred than any man's, when his bones were out of joint, and we see his suffering when, as the substitute for sin, he suffered for sin, for your sin and my sin, in the darkness of Golgotha. And we hear him cry, as we heard him this morning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He went down into the depths where there was no standing. My dear friends, no one ever suffered like this man. No one ever spake like this man. No one ever stooped like this man. No one ever suffered like this man. No one ever saved like this man. One of the unique things about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he can save sinners from their sins. And he can save sinners from the pit of hell. And he can save sinners from a lost eternity. Now, this is the purpose for which he came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There used to be an old hymn that goes like this. We never sing it today. We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And how true those words are. He's able to save those who are defeated by sin. I don't need to tell you tonight that there's people out there, all kinds of people out there, and they're defeated by sin in their life every day. They're like the woman with the issue of blood. She tried many possessions, many physicians, but she became worse. Yes, like the man in the tombs. No man could tame him. And there's people out there, and you know, they cannot take control of their life again. They're beat by drugs every day. And some of them, sick in hospital, and yet they have to crawl nearly out of the door to get a pull of a cigarette. They're chained. They're chained, defeated. They would love to be free. But he's able to save those who are defeated by sin. Able to save those who are defiled by sin. Like the leper. This leper was defiled. He was unclean. I don't think we understand at times the uncleanness of sin as far as God is concerned. Unclean. He's able to save those that are deep in sin. Like the prodigal. Like the woman taken in adultery. And he's able to save those who are dead in sin. Like people who are wrapped up in empty, Christless religion, who have been to church today, who have sung the Psalms, who have said their prayers, who have put their envelope into the box and all the rest of it, and neither as dark as hell can make them. But the light of the world is Jesus tonight. Yes, we bring before you one who is unique. We bring before you one who is unique in the sense that no one else can compare with him. Compare with him as Savior, as Lord and Shepherd. Never man spake like this man. Never man stooped so low as this man. Never man suffered for poor sinners like this man did. Never man saved like this man. Do you know him tonight? His name is Jesus. And he's alive. And for those who know him, he's an all-sufficient Savior. We were singing earlier, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Wonderful Savior to me. For those who don't know him tonight, there's no one to compare with him. I trust that if you don't know him, you'll come to know him. And that you'll belong to him through faith in his mighty work at Calvary.